The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County, and happy Father's Day. Today is Sunday, June 16th. This is Kevin Cry. That was Billy Joel's My Life. And again, I am Kevin Cry, and this is my show. It is great to be with you this Sunday morning. Hello, Mom. You're probably out on the lake. And hello to my Uncle Bud as well. My dad's not listening. He's in Oceanside, and he'll only listen if I really, really beg him to, because there's a topic I want to talk to him about later in the day. But happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Happy Father's Day to all the moms who pull double duty and are raising their youngins and filling that role of dad in the family, as well as grandparents, aunts, uncles, anybody else who's stepping up to be that father figure in your kids' life. Thank you for what you do. I think it is one of the most unsung roles in the world, the role of a father. I think that's a large reason why our world has so many problems, is the breakdown of the family. But I digress. I'm going to jump into the weather here. It is always brought to you by Weather NorCal. I didn't get Mike to send me a little blurb, but his app, Weather NorCal, you can get it on you can follow him on Facebook, Instagram. You can download the app. It's really, really easy to navigate. But, again, we are going to have early in the week, it's not going to be blistering hot. It's like in the 80s tomorrow and low 90s on Tuesday and Wednesday. But then again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it looks like it's going to be crawling up into triple digits, and it's going to be super, super hot. So today we're going to do a lot of call-ins, and I'm going to give you like three or four topics I'd like us to stick to. The number to call in is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. I'm going to give you the topics real quick, but I do have a guest here with me today that we're going to spend about the first 10 minutes talking a little bit about what he does and why I brought him on. But the items I want to talk about today, if you would like to call in and just have a discussion, would be about the Riverfront specific plan. I'm not sure if anybody went on Thursday or yesterday to the Civic and had the City of Reading's presentation with what they're looking to do down there by the river on the north and south sides, as well as the rodeo grounds and that whole area. So if you want to talk about that, that would be great. The ROV interviews, I know that's a big topic. That was a topic we discussed quite a bit the last couple weeks at coffee. And then also, I would love to talk to you a little bit, and this isn't anything jurisdictionally that I have any, you know, insight to or get to have any choices, but I'd really like to hear people's thoughts. If you don't know, Michael DeQuisto, former mayor, city councilman, put his notice in to retire, and he actually switched the date to a few days earlier because it forces an election, and that means they can appoint somebody up until November, but because of when he is going to vacate office, it forces the city council to have an election in November so they could leave the seat vacant, they could appoint somebody for a short amount of time, and I'd love to just get people's input on that. So anyway, before we get to all that, again, that number is 530-605-4567, but before we take any calls, I've got a gentleman here, a friend of mine, and his name is Craig Tweedy. He's the owner of Phase 5 Sport Performance and Recovery. So welcome, Craig.
Thanks, Kevin, for having me on. Happy Father's Day.
Hey, thank you. Happy Father's Day to you. So I wanted to bring you on today because I've noticed a lot of businesses closing lately. And in California, it is not easy to run a business. And your business, I think, is very, very, very needed in Shasta County. And, of course, I pay you. And this isn't a paid spot. But I really started to feel recently that I need to use my platform more and more to highlight some businesses, especially in District 1, that are providing a great service. So tell us a little bit, Craig, what Phase 5 does in general.
Well, you know, my background as an athletic trainer is for 15 years I worked at the Division 1 level with athletes, primarily with football. So, you know, injuries happen, but we can't always get them back quickly from injury. But those ones that we can, the bumps and bruises from day in, day out, how do we get them back as quickly, as healthy as possible? And the techniques I use, a lot of myofascial work, work on that fascial system, we get great response there. Helps promote healing, mobility of the tissue, blood circulation. It helps the body recover quicker. And that's the name of the game, is how do we recover quicker? How do we accelerate that process so we can get back to doing what we want to do?
Okay, now, so you talk about the Division I level in sports, but what really, I come see you, you know, at least a few times a month, but my wife came yesterday, and then she's been just, she came a couple days in a row and needed cupping and all that kind of stuff. So it's not just for athletes, it's for moms, dads, grandparents, et cetera, right? That bodies are breaking down. So
absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Like I said, we use that level because it works so well. If we use a technique up there that doesn't work, we don't use it. So applying that to people in our age, people working in the construction, people working on the front lines, firefighters, law enforcement, anyone who has an injury, we lose mobility of that joint. It doesn't matter what happens. And the problem is the body compensates for that. So if you have a frozen shoulder, maybe you had surgery 6-7 months ago, it still isn't where it wants to be. That's probably because you have a mobility issue. You know, that's something we can work on by just trying to force blood to that area, relax that fascial layer, and able to get that mobility back in there. So, yeah, that's my biggest thing when I started Phase 5 was I wanted to be not just for athletes. This is stuff that not just elite athletes have to have, but anyone can benefit from it. I mean, the only reason cupping got big was 2006, Michael Phelps,
yeah.
The Rio Olympics. We had all those dots on his back. People were like, what is that stuff? We were already doing it for 10 years at the college level, but now everyone got interested in. And now the way people are taking care of their bodies, they're looking at different options, you know, not just going to the doctor every time, getting a prescription. They want to see how can we do this. You can call it a holistic approach if you like. But just a different approach to healing and letting the body do its job.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Now, I see you out there at 3-on-3. I see you out in the community doing quite a bit. What's the best way? Like, what's your website? Give us your website.
My website is phase5reading.com. That's the number five. And you can go there. It has all the information, has how to book, has our pricing, has a lot of information on what we do there. No, I just don't do just the soft tissue stuff. I also have about six really great, fantastic modalities. You know, right now what's really big is cold plunges. Everyone's talking about cold plunges. Huberman, Rogan, all those guys are talking about cold plunging and the benefits of that. I have an infrared sauna. I have this new, it's called a zero body dry float bed. It's comparable to a sensory deprivation tank, but you don't have to get wet in it. So it's really cool. You don't even see it in the private market. The only people that have them right now are the pro teams. Like, so if you go to the Niners, the Warriors, those are the ones that have them right now. I got one because I had a buddy at University of Alabama that had one. I talked to him about it, and he said, yeah, you got to get one of those things. So come try it out because it's a different approach to your healing, how you get back to what you want to do.
Now, do you do corporate packages for companies? Like if they want to come in and they want to make it a value add to their employees, do you do stuff like that where people can come in and get packages for employees and things like that if you're a business owner?
Absolutely. I have individual packages for people, but I also, on the corporate side, that's one thing I want to really push because it's prevention. We're preventing bigger injuries from happening. So working with a big corporation I'm not going to lie, I worked with my dad and my brother's FedEx company, you know, with FedEx Ground Company. So we work on their workers. It'll make sure that they can do their job day in and day out. So instead of having to go to the ER or something like that, we can take care of those minor aches and pains that happen throughout just working. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, and that's one thing is so few people ever take any proactive, I guess you would say, position in terms of their health and fitness instead of saying, well, now my back's jacked up, I'm going to go to the chiropractor, or my shoulder's really bugging me, or I've got, you know, tendonitis in my elbow, now I've got to go see a therapist, instead of saying, hey, I feel great, I'm going to go now to keep feeling great.
Exactly. And like I said, those services work. Like I said, I'm not – I work hand-in-hand with chiropractors, physical therapists, massage therapists. It's just a different avenue that works. The biggest thing is I tell people is, like, you know, you go to a chiropractor, you get aligned. Great. Well, what happens with those muscles? Nothing. They're still tight. That fascia is still tight. It's going to pull you right back out of alignment. come see me first, get a little cupping, a little soft tissue work done, and then go see a chiropractor and see if that alignment stays a lot better. You know, it's all about giving more time to people feeling pain-free.
That's awesome. Now, how about a phone number? Can you give us a phone number really quick in case someone wants to give you a call tomorrow? And you're off. Your hours are what usually? Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday. I'm by appointment only. I'm usually there about 9 to 5. My number is 530-806-3554. You know, call me anytime. It's my cell phone number. So, like, give me a call. If you want to talk about it, you want some more information, if you want to stop by and check it out, I just want people to come check this out because it's – I'm not going to say it's a new idea. We've been doing this forever, but it's a new approach that I think up here hasn't been touched on yet. And like I said, I'm excited to bring it out there for everyone to use, not just for athletes.
Now, when it comes to insurance, do you take insurance? Is it all cash pay?
It's all cash pay, but I do take Flex Savings or Health Savings cards.
Okay, great. So people can actually send it back to their insurance and you do the Super Bowl kind of thing.
Exactly. Okay. And you know what? I try to keep my prices competitive right now, so it's comparable to a copay that you go into a PT office, chiropractor's office, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell people this, you know, when they talk about how do you sit through the board meetings when they go really long. And I'll tell you, one of the things is I have a different chair that I use because body alignment's really, really important. And the other chairs that have been there like for 20 years since the building was built. But the other is I go see Craig, and Craig actually does a phenomenal preventative process for me because the longer you sit, and if you're a person that sits a lot, you know, you're really just ratcheting down your hamstrings, and if you have tight hamstrings, you're going to have a lower back issues eventually if you're doing a lot of sitting. So go see Craig. You won't be sorry. Again, that's Phase 5 Sports Performance and Recovery. It's downtown, kind of catty corner from Woody's.
Yeah.
And what's the address?
1720 Shasta Street.
17.
Really easy to get to. I got, you know, I have my own parking, so it's free down there, which is great. So
free parking. There you go. Free parking in downtown Reading. So, Craig, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming in. Have a great Father's Day with the kids.
You as well.
And I will be definitely seeing you, I'm sure, at some point this week.
Hey, I'm going to run by to the Cold Pledge right now and get it going.
There you go. All right, man. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. So we did have a few people that have called in. So what we are going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about some of this, and then we're going to get to some of these calls. So here is what I saw at the Riverfront specific plan this weekend. It was really, really interesting. I went on Saturday, and actually Supervisor Kellstrom wound up being there at the same time. And it was actually really, really well done in terms of how they had everything spread out, and you had an app that you'd be able to do a live. Did we put a caller through? Looks like we put a caller through. Carolyn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good morning. How you doing? I didn't know we were going to a caller. So go ahead. What topic would you like to hit on?
Well, I wanted to just say that I went Thursday night, but before I talk about what I was going to ask or make a comment, I just wanted to call and wish you a happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I hope you get spoiled by your family today. I know you're going to have lots of fun with them.
I'm spoiled
but,
every day.
It's interesting. I went on Thursday night, and I thought that the way that they had everything laid out was very well organized and very engaging with the community, but I also, at the same time, felt that it was very driven in a direction they want you to kind of go. But I did really like the survey, and I hope they made the comment that it would be available for people online to take those same, you know, surveys. So I hope community engagement really gets involved in that.
Well, so, Carolyn, you've lived here a long time. Here in mm-hmm. Shasta County, grew up, went to Anderson High School, graduated years before me, but no, I'm just giving mm-hmm. you time. But what?
No, yeah, it was years.
Yeah,
eight
years. No, at least not that anybody's counting. But what is your opinion of what you would like to see down there, or just leave it as is? What are your thoughts?
Well, I want the rodeo ground, you know, fixed, but I don't want it relocated. And I don't want anything done to what they call the north side, really much. I mean, they could do some improvements. The bathroom would be really nice on some of the trails far out. Would be nice, possibly, as long as the homeless don't infiltrate it. And but I personally thought on the south side, it'd be definitely nice to have some walking and biking areas, crosswalks, like they do in front of the Board of Chambers, you know, on Court Street, something similar to like that. And maybe like a little bit of retail and no housing at all. And maybe like one or two restaurants, but not on the river itself, like on the riverfront.
Sure.
Because they gave those options. So
yeah.
I really want things somewhat the same, but yet there's so much dead space down Park Marina that's wasted that we could really enjoy.
Yeah, well, hey,
so that's
Carolyn,
what I would like to see change.
I appreciate you calling. Thank you for the kind words about Father's Day. We're going to get to our next caller, but you have a great Sunday, and enjoy the day.
Hello.
Hey, Bruce, how you doing, sir?
Doing great.
All right, so what are we talking about? Riverfront, ROV, City of Reading, Council, what would you like to talk about?
I would start with the riverfront.
Okay.
I went Thursday night.
Okay.
And I thought the setup was pretty good. It appeared that most of the people wanted to keep the rodeo grounds there. One of the things what I did not like is the way they set up the rodeo grounds and the Civic Center together. Is to me, they're separate items, and they put them on one item. I think the Civic Center is outdated. Well, both of them need to be redone. So best way to redo the Civic Center would be get rid of it and put in a new facility. I thought it was a good presentation. And one of the things I look at is that area has never been utilized. I could never understand that. You know, we have such a beautiful area down there, and it's been underutilized, you know, its entire life.
Yeah. Now, and you've been in Shasta County how long?
Originally came up here in 79-80.
79-80. So,
yeah,
you know,
but I was gone for a couple of years, but yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I know that it's designated a park area, so I believe for there to be any kind of substantial change, it would have to go to a vote. One of the things that was I don't want to say troubling, but what was hard for me is I get so much, you know, I mean, I hear so many people talk about what they want to constantly change. And one of the things is I sometimes go to, you know, if you want some of those things so bad, go vacation in those areas or maybe move to those areas. But a lot of the, and I wrote them down here, when they gave examples of what we could have here with the riverfront specific plan, they used places like, there was a place in Australia, they used Bend multiple times, they used Sacramento, Petaluma, Portland, now Boise. There was some places in Missoula, Montana, not quite sure what that community is like. I do know that South Lake Tahoe was referenced at one point. There was also a spot right outside of the University of Michigan. But what was hard for me is when I see the comparison cities that they're talking about, you know, it starts to make me feel like, man, it's such a slippery slope. And I'm super open to the process and see what they're going to bring back. They're only 10 months into 24 months. So I'll be anxious to see continuously what they come back with. But I know they had like the whitewater park, you know, where they'd have like a class 5 rapids and stuff like that. And on the surface, that looks great. But then, you know, is it going to be something like a Turtle Bay where, you know, a lot of families can't afford to go, or the Garden of Lights and things like that? Yeah, that stuff's beautiful, but a lot of that stuff was donated, and yet they're still making tons of money, and it's been subsidized by taxpayers. So I struggle with that. So if they, you know, we're able to guarantee that the class 5 rapids thing was going to be like, you know, $5 a person or, you know, $10 a family for X amount of time, it would make sense. But what I don't want to see is I don't want to see things become for the elite super expensive and then price people out. Because I see that a lot with things that come to Reading, that your average family, you just can't afford it. So is there anything else you wanted to hit on, Bruce, before I take the next call?
What you just said on there, and you know, as far as the ROV, I guess you guys had 15 candidates, but only 9 of them decided to stay in the race.
Well, we had 39. We had 39 applicants.
Right. No, I'm saying 15 what made it through the
yes,
checkpoint. We'll call it.
Yes, 15 were offered interviews. 9 wound up taking the interviews. I am aware of why some decided not to take the interview. Yeah, absolutely. So we have a great pool. We have 9 people. But Bruce, thank you so much for calling. Happy Father's Day also. Hopefully you're spoiled like every father should be. But you know, that's we'll see how it goes. So have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Happy Father's Day too.
Thank you. All right, next caller, Richard. Are you there? Rich, you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry for the delay.
Oh,
good morning.
No problem. Good morning, sir.
Happy Father's Day to you. Yeah, thank you so much. Barbecue. I have a little barbecue this morning.
Good, good deal. So, what are we talking about? Riverfront, ROV, City of Reading, Council. What do you got?
A quick update on the Laura Hobbs case. It's you know, they had a day and a half of testimony. Very interesting. Some very damaging admissions by the elections office employees, and even from the temporary registrar. That, you know, lack of supervision, lack of training, you know, violations of elections codes. It's all. And and another hearing to follow.
Well, hey, do me a favor. Do you have something specific about the ROV interviews? Because I don't really necessarily want to go into too much detail about the. I want to stick to these three topics. But I definitely, you know, if you have something about the ROV interviews that are coming up this week, would love to hear that or answer any questions you have.
Yeah, I'll finish my point. My point regarding this hearing and a lot of the things going wrong in that office, in my humble opinion, shows why we cannot have Joanna as the next registrar. It's very simple, and it's all documented in writing now. And so, you know, I wish you guys good luck in your interviews. I've seen the list of the finalists, and I think there's a couple there that are going to be good possibilities and that are going to want to do the right thing for the people and transparency. So,
well, I appreciate you calling in, and I think one of the things I would hope all supervisors are doing is as they're preparing their questions and looking over the packets that, you know, not just we as supervisors received, but the public received. I mean, this is the most transparent, open interview process I could ever think there to be. I mean, I haven't even spoken really to other supervisors other than Supervisor Garmin a little bit, just because we were on the selection panel with Director Monica Fugit, but you know, all the dialogue that will take place up there in board chambers on Tuesday and Wednesday is going to be for everybody to see. So this will
I want to thank you for that. I know that's hard for candidates to sit in an open interview process, but you know, we're all big boys and girls, right? We all can put on the big pants when we need to, right?
Well, I think, you know, the reality of this is, and I've said this multiple times, I wish this could go to an election, because I think anytime there's an elected position, it should be just that. The people should get to choose, but that's not what state law has for us, so we'll step into that. And I know I'll do the homework and the research that I need to do to make the best decision I feel compelled to make. So, hey, with that, Rich, again, have a happy Father's Day. Thanks for calling in.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're going to go to our next caller. Is it Nick?
Hey, good morning. Nick. Hey, I wanted to call and say I take exception to Bruce saying that our civic auditoriums wore out. Julie from Advanced Reading, she'll tell you that building was made for 100 years. It's halfway through it. The acoustics are wonderful. It's a wonderful building, and that all it needs is new seating and an HVAC system. And it looks to me like they want to give away our private property or our city-owned taxpayer property to a private entity, and they're going to use a lot of taxpayer money to develop a convention center. But at the same time, you've got Wind River that's going to put in a big convention center down there. And I believe you're going to wind up with a big league dreams type deal, a lot of money and very, very little use to the private citizen. So
yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Nick, did you go on Thursday or Saturday?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I was.
It's the same. same old thing. They just put a different ribbon on it.
Yeah, you know, one thing I was pretty surprised at, I guess, on Thursday night, and again, I'm at fault in the sense that on Thursday I was signed up to go, and I had asked an individual at the city about, you know, if I could switch days, and they said that that would be fine, and so I wound up going on Saturday. Thursday, I was told there was about, you know, 75 people roughly. There was, you know, room for 100. But on Saturday, I guess they made the announcement on Thursday, hey, tell anybody that wants to come on, you know, on Saturday just to come. Don't even worry about registering. And there was 39 of us that were taking the survey while we were sitting there. So there wasn't a lot of public engagement. And that was a little disheartening. And I get it. It's a Saturday. It's in the summer. People are at the lake. They're doing other things. But you know, one thing that I think is going to be really, really critical in this process is just really getting the public to understand, like, you know, what's going on, so you don't have just a few people really driving that process. And, you know, even
you've got a few people driving the process. It's Jack Munns, Tanisa Audette, and Julie Winter, and the next Bethelite that gets in there. As far as I'm concerned, they've already given it away. And I think it's deplorable how they're trying to tell Chris Kutras how he can develop his property.
Yeah, you know, I haven't gotten into the weeds about, you know, who's really feeling what. I do know that I think they could have saved that $1.5 million, and I think the council at the time that voted to do that just kind of, you know, passed the buck, and you could have just had the original plan, let the people spend that money, roll out what they see, and then the council could have said, no, we don't want that, and then they could have saved that $1.5 million. Now, what you run the risk of is you run the risk of a bunch of people running that down, and I think the public in general probably started getting freaked out, and they just want to, you know, push the, you know, kick the can down the road, so that way there's like a stall tactic maybe. I don't know. I wasn't involved, obviously, in that at all. But, you know, it's, I mean, I think less and less people trust government. And, you know,
I think it started out with deception. There's no way that Barry Tippin and the city of Reading were blindsided with an unexpected offer from populist K2, McConnell, and Turtle Bay. In my opinion, they were all in it, and they think we're so dumb we can't figure that out. And I think people are getting tired of government thinking that us taxpayers are dumb.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that, you know, and that's actually a whole topic I might dive into a little bit when we come back. We're going to take a short break.
And
hey, Nick, thank you so much. And we'll take a short break. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Again, if you want to call in, it's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Reading Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Room 101, 14th anniversary. Do you enjoy bold, aggressive cigar profiles? Well, this stick is not for the faint of heart or palate. AJ Fernandez has packed a wallop of a smoke. Get ready, folks. This cigar is a knockout. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Ready Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Fast Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
We are back. We are broadcasting live down here, heart of District 1, KCNR, and 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. If you'd like, you could always go to votekevincry.com, and you could go back to all the episodes we've done. They're archived there, but they're also archived at kcnr1460.com. Again, if you'd like to call in, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. We're talking about three main topics: the Riverfront Specific Plan, ROV interviews, which are this week, which I still will jump into, and then also we're talking a little bit about just the City Council and former Mayor Michael DeQuisto stepping down early. And we have a caller, Roberta. Are you there? Roberta, are you there?
I am here.
Good morning.
I just wanted to remind people that Reading is a conservative town, and yet we have 60% of our city government is liberal. We have to maintain our conservative here because this is a rural town. We're not a city, and we are the center of a conservative county. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, Roberta, I really appreciate. How long have you lived in Shasta County, if you don't mind me asking?
84 years.
84 years. Okay. Well, how long have you listened to the show? I've never met you, so, and I don't recognize your voice. So you've been
from the beginning.
Okay. Well, what do you feel? As I mean, if I can, I would love to have you sometime come down to coffee on a Friday at Kaleidoscope. We do it every Friday at 8 a.m. on Athens. I love to hear from people who have lived here a really, really long time. And I'm not ever opposed to growth and new people, new ideas. But one thing I'm really, really unwavering on is keeping the pace of life, the way of life, the structure of what I grew up with, and doing everything I can to hold on to as much of that as possible. A lot of that has been lost, and I think what's important is people like you, like me, really stand up and speak out, or else we just keep getting rolled by people who really don't feel that way, and then they get into positions of power, and then they change it, and then people like you and I say, what happened to our county? So what do you feel about the direction of the county as a whole and how it's grown the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years? Is there anything you'd like to talk about with that?
Well, I'll just tell you, I am sick and tired of the county board, previous board. I don't mean this board, but previous boards, of thinking of their own causes and ignoring the rest of us. I would like to see more interaction, and I'm like you. It disappoints me that more people don't show up for meetings, are uninformed, but even more, it disappoints me that people aren't interested in finding out. So I would like to see some way of interesting, especially younger people, and also educating them in the importance in our republic of participation.
I mean, I think that's great, and I think that's exactly what I've really personally tried to strive to do And I know that other supervisors have their own path and their own way that they try to connect with the public. But, Roberta, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for being just a stalwart proponent of our way of life here in Shasta County, which is rural. And just thank you. Thank you for being a listener. And please reach out anytime and hope to one day meet you at coffee.
Thank you.
Take care. So, boy, I tell you, anytime I meet a new listener, and there's people that I'll run into at, I don't want to say Costco, because I'm not running into a lot of people at Costco anymore, because my wife really enjoys going down every single aisle, and I just can't do that. So she has a better time going to Costco without me, unless there's something heavy that she maybe wants help with, or we have to put it in my truck to transport it home. But when I'm out and about and I meet people who are listening to my show or have come to a coffee, and sometimes there's more people than there are other days, and I don't get to necessarily meet every single person. I try to at least say hi to the new people, but it's humbling, and it's humbling for someone like you, Roberta, who listens to the show and who even finds value in calling in and giving your opinion. So thank you. All right, so I want to jump into a little bit of the ROV process. And how that's unfolded. And we get, as supervisors, we get emails. And I'll tell you, you know, if you're ever going to write, I won't even say to a politician. I'll just say to me, if you're ever going to write an email to me, and what I will say is I read every single one of them, because there are some people that email, you know, let's just say initials, you know, JG, and DD and other people that email, and my first instinct is just to hit delete, because I really believe respect is earned. It's not just given. And there's a lot of people I really disagree with, but we've had a lot of great conversations over the last 2.5 years, and I respect where they're coming from, and I can sit and have a very logical, polite, well-received conversation back and forth, and not even just waiting for my turn to speak, but actually hearing and listening to what the person is saying, trying to understand their point of view, but then being able to go back and forth. So I have those people, because you know, when I said I was running as a healer and as a uniter, I mean, look at the whole thing with Tim Garmin. Like, who am I working with the most lately? Tim Garmin. Who have I had the most public, probably, falling out with to some degree? Tim Garmin. And Tim Garmin and I are really working very closely together on this Veterans Memorial. Also, we work together on the item with the ROV interviews. So it's really about working together. So with the ROV interviews, if you're going to email over the next few days, just to give you some help, if you're going to email me, first of all, you're not going to get very far if you're just going to be attacking and saying that this is a done deal, or you know, because what was interesting is I got a lot of emails before the candidates were even released about, you know, who was the most qualified and why this shouldn't even go to an interview. And it's crazy to me. And these are people probably that don't have the ability to run a popsicle stand or a lemonade stand, because if you're making decisions without having all the information, like, I don't know, in my personal life, I have 5 companies. I have a lot of leaders in those companies that I have to rely on. And those people didn't get those positions by luck. Some people had no background in what they're now running now, but what I looked for was high character, like high character. I mean, beyond, when I say just, high character, I'm talking about people that they care about other people more than they care about themselves. So I look to surround myself with a lot of people that care about their fellow man, their fellow woman. And I start there. And then I start really going by, are they a listener? Are they able to hear other people's point of view? And so as we go down a list of things that I look for the people to lead various areas of my company, I mean, you can get the training, the background, some of the things you need. But if you're honest, have high character, you're able to listen and articulate a direction and lead people. Because one of the things is, just because you're in charge doesn't mean you're a leader. And that's really one of the important things to me of any position I'm looking for. I'll give an example. Like the very first position I was really able to really recruit for was the CEO position. And we had, and I was excited about that. And when I was running, I said, hey, I'm very excited about being able to recruit the next CEO. And I probably spoke to 10 to 15 people about applying for that position. And there was two or three that did apply. And ultimately, where we wound up wasn't with somebody that I recruited. We wound up with somebody in CEO Dave Rickert that rose to the top, became the best, and that has been over the top the best decision we could have made. Dave Rickert is, when I say we're getting some stuff done, if you look at past boards and you look at this board and the things that we're putting on the agenda and getting passed, I mean, we passed two ballot measures that resoundingly the voters voted on. So if that doesn't have a heartbeat of what people want, I don't know what is. And we're going to add some stuff to it. So as we look at the ROV interviews, I probably talked to, I don't know, we've had, I don't know how many emails everybody else received. I probably received, I don't know, maybe 25 to 50 of people from out of the area, from all over the country, looking for, you know, some more information, what we're looking for. We respond to those, we call out. So the fact that we had 39 applicants for that position, I think is huge. Now, we had some that solely applied just because it felt like, you know, maybe a good idea or like something to do. We had people that, you know, we had one person, I think, that was, I don't know. I don't even think they were 25 years old, which is fine. That doesn't, the age thing doesn't matter because we just went with the government code of, you know, you have to be a voter and reside in Shasta County essentially when you're appointed. But, you know, there were some people that I think didn't even realize what they were applying for. So there's 39 of those. We get it to 15. And again, we were pretty in this process with Director Fugit and Supervisor Garmin and myself. We were pretty open to who we were going to put through to be to give them an interview. And so the fact that we've pared this down to 9 people, I think we should be very, very excited about the 9 that we have. They come from all different walks of life. They come from all different types of backgrounds. Every single one of them, if you look at their resumes, have qualities that you would want. Because let's remember, the ROV that vacated the office came from social services. She was a social worker. And then she became the assistant clerk and then very, very quickly became the clerk. So you're talking about somebody that had very little experience who came in, who now is touted to some as if she would be in the, you know, the ROV Hall of Fame. And I'm not going to get into that. But when you talk about the breadth of experience that that individual brought into the office was minimal compared to, you know, where obviously that office holder ended up. Oh, we have a caller. John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
Oh, it's another great day to be alive.
It is a great day to be alive. And happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you.
So what are we talking about? Riverfront, ROV, City of Reading, City Council?
Talk a little bit about, you know, the Shasta County and the City of Reading, a little bit of both. And so I just wanted to say I like how you guys are not moving at the speed of government as far as the Board of Supervisors and the CEO Rickert. You guys are, you know, passing some really good things like, you know, Charter County, getting rid of impact fees, limiting terms, you know, some really good positive things that I think is the will of the people. That you guys work for is agree with the majority of people, and so I really like that. You know, as far as DeQuisto retiring, I think that's horrible because I think he was one of the better ones on the board. So I'm pretty impressed with the Board of Supervisors. I'm excited for the new ROV coming. Hopefully I know we got to work within the parameters of what the state laws and everything. And I know it's, there's going to be no way to please all the people, no matter what is decided on this, but I'm hoping we can get at least restore some trust back into our voting system here locally. And I wanted to talk about the city council, which I kind of touched on that with DeQuisto, but you know, I don't think they represent the people at all, as far as not the, with the exception of DeQuisto and Mazzano. Yeah.
Okay.
But besides those two, the other three, I'm not seeing that them carry out the will of the people. I mean, when you look at things like, I mean, just the city is going to crap. Everyone can see it. You know, when they implement the parking fees and stuff like that, I mean, the parking fees is kind of a thorn in people's side. I don't think anybody actually thinks it's a good idea. I think there's some common sense ways to make it to where there's limited parking, to where there's timed parking without fees, and people could call the traffic police that were already hired. We don't need a task force. They've lost $100,000, let alone they not only did they not get back any of the original investment that they put into this parking fee system, but they lost $100,000. Okay, and then Tanessa Audette says, well, maybe we're going to get a trolley system. And then they sold the parking garage off of California Street, and they said, well, don't worry, the $100,000 that we lost, don't worry about it. We use the money that we made from selling the parking garage. We could have made parking for free for everybody, and if you're parking somewhere all day long, you could go to a parking lot or the parking garage for free and have limited parking in front of people's businesses, so you're not having someone park in front of your business all day. You don't have to have traffic police. You could have someone call in and say, hey, there's someone parking in front of my house. So anyways, I'm venting a little bit.
Yeah,
I want
to stick to these three things. But the one thing I will say about the city council and whether it's Shasta Lake, Anderson, Redding, or the Board of Supervisors, I mean, it is there's constantly a lot coming at all of us. And to make the best decisions we can, there are sometimes where you just kind of like, you know, grit your teeth and say, man, wish I had that one back, or I'd like to run it back. But I think listening to the public is what's most important, and not just listening to the public, but educating the public, giving the public an opportunity to come and engage in the process. And when I say listening, I'm not talking about, you know, public comment 3 minutes where somebody comes up and rants and makes. I mean, we have an attorney that comes up in public comment that a bunch of attorneys at the county just laugh at every time this guy comes up. He's a former public defender. And he's so off on the law, we just all kind of shake our heads and say, wow, can't believe that guy was in charge at one point of a law process. But anyway, the thing for me, John, is I think if we stay diligent and we keep working together, keep educating people of what's going on, I think that's the only way we continue to move forward. But we have to get our voices out there. We have to make sure people know what's going on and not just what the media reports or puts out there, because some of the people that are the loudest are the ones that are actually putting out the most misinformation about what's going on, and they do that because that's how they can sneak stuff by us. So, John, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it, and have a great Father's Day.
All right, you too. Take care.
So this week we have a Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow, and it starts at 9 a.m., We have a closed session that we'll go into pretty quickly because we have quite a few items to get through. And then we've got a really long couple days ahead. And when I say long, it's not bad. Excuse me. It's Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. We start the ROV clerk interviews. And as I chair the board and as I start those meetings, we're going to have I'm going to read a statement about the process. Then we're going to do a lottery system. We're going to put everybody's name in a hat. I would love to get like the ping pong ball, like a bingo caller, like, you know, the NBA lottery or something like that, just because somebody ultimately is going to say that, you know, much like in years past when Patrick Ewing got drafted, they froze an envelope, and that's how the New York Knicks pulled that one out. Who knows? But there's going to be someone to have to say something about the process of who gets to go first, who gets to go last, etc. But we'll start that process on Tuesday. But going back really quickly to the ROV interviews and recruiting for that position, the second person, Joe Larmer, and I'll tell you, I'm not going to go super in-depth into it, but I've had no less than 10 department heads, a couple that were really vocal that came to me recently after the budget hearings and said, hey, I was really, really torn about the appointment of Joseph Larmer coming on as the new county council. I was skeptical, but they said that has been the best decision. And this is coming from a department head who's been in the county nearly 30 years. And they said that more work is getting done faster. And they said, had it always been like this, they can't imagine how much better their work pace would have been all these years with the county. And I hear that kind of stuff, and it's important because for me, that's just justification, or it's just a – it just feels good. I got to tell you, from, and it's not a prideful thing, but it just feels really good to know that, you know, when you recruit somebody and they come out and it winds up being a home run. I mean, I've picked athletes for teams that weren't the right fit, or I've had people go out on a quarter of field and I didn't have the right mix of players. The chemistry was off and we missed a shot, turned the ball over, struck out, didn't catch a sign, and somebody gets caught stealing, whatever. And or even business, you know, you put somebody on to lead a sales team and it was the wrong person and sales were down. I mean, you have those things over time. But to know at the highest level, we have a CEO now and we have a county council and we are moving and we are moving. And staff is I'll just say, like, they're toeing the line. It's they're squared away, so to speak, as you'd say in the military. And things are getting done. So with this ROV, my belief is the process is going to be as transparent as possible. We are going to have a great opportunity to vet these candidates, and may the best candidate win. Because I'll tell you, whether you believe me or not, I haven't made my mind up yet. I'm excited for the process because getting people there, answering the questions, and understanding the difference of leadership and being in charge and the direction that this office is going to go, because once that person's appointed, that's it. They're elected. It's their show. There is no more oversight, so to speak. I mean, we get to do some things with the budget, but how that office is ran is how it's ran by that appointed person who will then become in the elected seat. So we have a caller, Monica, or is it Monica or is it Monique?
It's Monique.
Monique, hey, welcome. How you doing?
I'm good. Kevin, calling you from Grants Pass.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm good. But hey, I noticed you were speaking to Mr. DeCristo stepping down from the city council. And you know, that man is an incredible human being for stepping up and doing what he did for the city of Reading, and it breaks my heart, but I totally get it. You know, for medical reasons, stepping down to spend time with his family. I wish him all the love and luck in the world. But I'm really hoping that I believe city council is going to appoint somebody, then in November we get to vote for somebody. And I'm hoping that people will understand that we need people in city council that will work for the people, not just their people, but the people.
I hear that.
So I'm really hoping that we get a lot of options for candidates. I've even thought about throwing my own hat in the ring, but
you should consider it. Like, I, you know, one of the things I really wanted to do is I wanted to try and get as many people to run. I know we have Brenda, who may run out in Shasta Lake, Darren, who's going to run in Anderson. I mean, there are people that are kind of waking up, stepping up. And I know with DeCristo changing his date where it does have to go to an election, you know, that is, I mean, I think that's great. And I think that shows where Councilman DeCristo's heart is in terms of with the people, wants people to have that choice and decision. I mean, I couldn't tell you if I want someone to be appointed for just a few months or if it just stays empty. I'll be curious to see how it plays out. And that's something that I'll be definitely watching. And Monique, as you said you're in Grants Pass. Enjoy the cooler weather and travel safe. And thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Kevin. You have a lovely day, and stay safe yourself.
You too. You know, one of the things that I respect anybody who runs for public office and puts themselves out there. But there is I think there's another level with an individual that is really – and I'm not saying this is just for Councilman DeCristo, but anybody who's really – really trying to engage as many people as possible. So if you didn't know, he changed his retirement date, I believe, to the 25th of June. So it puts it 132 days out of the November election. So that means it has to go to an election in November. So whether the city council appoints or not, we will see. ROV interviews start this Tuesday, 9 a.m. And I'll tell you, this hour flew by. Shasta County, I love you. Go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook or go to VoteKevinCry.com. Follow the page. Sign up for the email news.